Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now, let's get started with Results Driven.
Hello and welcome to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from my company, High Value Consulting. If you'd like more information about what you'll hear during our show today, give us a call at my direct dial, 484-431-2874, or you may visit us online at highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out past shows and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Today, we're tackling something I think is hitting closer to home for a lot of people right now than they expected. What do you do if you get laid off when retirement is just a few years away? It is a situation that can feel like a rug getting pulled out from under you. And we're going to walk through 9 practical steps to help people in that spot find their footing. Throughout this episode, we'll be discussing, highlighting, and referring to the recent U.S. News and World Report article titled 9 Steps to Take If You're Laid Off Within 5 Years of Retirement. And I'm happy to have my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, with me today, someone who I think speaks for a lot of our listeners when it comes to real life side of these conversations. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning, Kurt. And you know, that's my goal right there, is to speak for our listeners, come from an average person, because I know that sometimes we talk about things on the show that, you know, seem like they're so natural for you, Kurt. And I'm over here speaking for the listeners when I say, what? But Kurt, how are you today? How was your weekend and anything new?
Yeah, I actually took my fiance to the airport yesterday. She's going to the Philippines with her mom and her son for the next four weeks. So I'm going to be home alone here, as they say in that movie, Home Alone, and actually still working with the contractor, finishing the deck and the basement and all that kind of stuff. How was your weekend?
Well, I played, so every weekend or, you know, every Monday night, I play volleyball with my, you know, friends, and we play sand volleyball. And yes, I am supposed to not be playing because I'm getting married in 2 months. And so everyone's telling me, oh, you're going to get injured. You're going to, you know, end up walking down the aisle in a boot. But yesterday I decided to cut the bottom of my foot on some, I don't know. I found what it was, and it was like a small cement rock, basically, in the sand. So the bottom of my foot is sliced open. So I'm not going to go into detail, but it hurts. It hurts so bad. I don't know what to do, if I should keep it elevated. Like, and I don't know. I don't know what to do, Kurt.
You know what? All I got to do is you got to take care of yourself, take care of it, and, you know, just do the right thing. It'll heal. This too shall pass. But it's one of those, it's getting through over the hump, over the hurdle when it heals.
Yes. So. Well, I'm happy to hear that everything's good. And I love checking in on you every week and just having to get together to do these conversations. And honestly, to go back to today's topic of, you know, navigating that late career layoff. And honestly, this one hits home for a lot of people, and a lot of people I know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners. Getting laid off at any stage is extremely hard. But 5 years out from retirement, I mean, that's a whole different kind of stress entirely, Kurt.
It really is. And it's happening more than people realize. As the article I just mentioned explains, tens of thousands of job cuts were announced just in March of this year alone, with the technology sector taking an especially hard hit as companies push further into artificial intelligence. But of course, they deny that's the reason. But anyway, so if you're in that situation, or you know someone who is, you are far from alone. Let's get into the 9 steps. The first one might surprise you because it's almost too simple. You pump the brakes on spending. That's the first thing before you do anything else. Just slow down financially. Don't make any big purchases. Don't renovate the kitchen. Don't book that trip that you've been putting off. Just pause.
Yeah, great point. And I'd imagine that the instinct for some people is sadly actually the opposite, though. I mean, like if I just lost my job, I might feel like I deserve a little comfort spending, right? Go deserve a little time off. Now I have all this newfound time off. So let's go take a trip.
That instinct is completely human, like human nature. I'm not saying go out and lock down, but when you're afraid to buy groceries, but right now, every dollar you conserve is a dollar that's buying you time and options. And in this situation, time and options are exactly what you need most.
Now, what's next?
Well, what's next? We would run the numbers. I don't mean take a casual glance at your bank account. I mean, sit down. Really understand, get a snapshot in time where you stand. What's your monthly expenses? What does your savings look like? How long can you realistically go without a paycheck before things get genuinely difficult? And you need to factor in something a lot of people don't think about until it hits them. Health insurance. When you lose a job, you lose your employer's contribution to your coverage. That's often a very significant cost that lands entirely on you. We're talking about potentially hundreds of dollars a month, sometimes more than that. That wasn't in your budget before, and it can throw your plan off, which would look perfectly solid on paper.
Well, so Kurt, what's the move here then? Do people figure all of this out themselves, or is there someone that they should be calling, contacting? What do I do?
Yeah, you may want to consider contacting your financial service professional. And I say that not just because that's what I do, it's because this is generally the moment when you have someone that looks out at your full picture objectively and can make an enormous difference. In other words, you take a snapshot in time, look at it objectively, and then let you know exactly what your options and where you stand. This can help you understand what you have, what you need, how long the runway actually is. That can help you figure out what decisions need to happen right now versus what can wait, because not everything is urgent, even when it feels that way.
Yeah, good point. Well, and I know that we talk a lot on this show about how when you're in crisis mode and you are in, you know, emotional, I don't know, down, I guess, it's a good time to consult a professional to have your back and think for you in these moments that maybe you can't think properly for yourself. So that separation between both urgent and not urgent seems like it would take a lot of the panic truly out of it to have someone tell you that and sit across the table and say, this is what we should focus on, give you a path forward.
That's exactly the goal, because when panic drives decisions, that's when people make moves that they regret. Like I said, making emotional decisions never usually end well.
Yeah.
The step three is where some of the tempting but potentially regrettable moves live. Income options. And what I want to spend a little time here, because the decisions people make in the early weeks of a job loss, when the stress is high, the picture isn't clear yet and can have lasting consequences. If you're at least 59 and a half, you can draw from your retirement accounts like your 401k or your IRA without penalty. But if you're younger than that, most withdrawals are going to cost you a 10% early withdrawal penalty on top of regular income taxes. That's a meaningful hit.
Yes, that is definitely something that we do want to try to avoid. Kurt, are there any ways around that for the people that are, you know, close but not quite at that 59 and a half?
There are a couple. If you're at least 55 and you were just laid off, you'd be able to pull from a 401k at work through 72T, it's called, that's left without penalties. In other words, you can pull out systematic payments for like a 5 or 10 year window. And that's also called a SEPP or SEP, substantially equal payment, periodic payments, in a way that you can access retirement funds early without the penalty at any age. But here's the catch. And then every time I've explained this to clients, they go, oh, I just want to do that. Once you start this, you can't stop it. You can't change it. It's locked in. And it can't be changed. So it's one of those decisions you got to really think it through. It's not something you do impulsively. And I want to be honest. A lot of people hear about the SEP, and think it sounds like such like the solution for everything. It can be really useful in the right situation, but it requires careful planning, and you might want to consider your financial guidance, your professional guidance, before you go down that road.
And what you're saying is the general principle is don't pull anything that you cannot put back. I mean, that is the general rule, like I said, but also you don't want to make mistakes, and especially in that emotional time.
That's a great way to put it. Reversibility matters a lot here. Look first at things like home equity, general savings, or even downsizing before you start tapping accounts that have tax implications or that lock you into a pattern you cannot fully plan for a reverse.
Yes. Okay, Kurt. So now you've kind of stabilized, right? I mean, you know where you stand for our listeners. What's step number four?
Decide if you're going back to work or retiring, because once you've run the numbers, you might find that you have more flexibility than you thought, or you might find out that you genuinely need more income. Either way, it's better to know than to assume.
Well, that's the big question of today's episode, right? Is do I go back to work or do I retire? And if someone does decide to go back to work, Kurt, does it have to look like what they were doing before? I mean, the 9 to 5, 5 days a week, maybe over 40 hours.
Absolutely, Jacqueline. Absolutely not. Not at all. And honestly, this is one of the more interesting parts of these conversations. Fractional work has become much more common. That's where someone with a lot of expertise steps in on a contract or a part-time basis to do senior level work, maybe strategy, consulting, or project leadership without the full-time commitment. I've had several clients do that, and they turned out they were happier than where they were before. Mm-hmm. For someone's close to retirement and has decades of knowledge to offer, this could be a generally great fit. And like I said, some of my clients, it has worked extraordinarily well.
Well, and Kurt, that's a great point. And some people might actually enjoy doing something completely different at this stage. I mean, what about working at the country club? Or, I don't know, what would you do? What would you do for like a different job?
I don't know, but I'll give you an example. I had a client move here from Louisiana and came to the Pottstown area when I had an office there. And he retired and he said, I'm going to go read newspapers to people at the nursing home. And they hired him to read like 10 newspapers a day because he loved to read anyway. And they'd bring everybody in their wheelchairs in this room. And he would read every day out loud, all the articles, everything in the newspaper. He loved it. He says he loved it. He got paid minimal, a couple bucks an hour. But he says he loved to read anyway. And they were paying me to read. So he says, I loved it. What I would do, I'd still love to consult. I'd still like to educate. I do find a way to still make a difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a real research showing that pre-retirees return a genuine interest into a part-time work. Whether it's the golf club, a bookstore, a garden center, tend to find a work surprisingly satisfying, and it's just not a paycheck. It connects to something that they care about, and there's something to be said if you're not having to be an expert anymore. Stepping into a role where you're just there because you enjoy it can be generally freeing after a long career of high-pressure responsibility. And again, there was another client of mine. He retired and he went and became a golf ranger. I didn't even know what that was. But he actually ran around in a golf cart at a country club and they gave him free golf.
That's awesome.
Whenever he wanted. And he says, I love it because I just go around checking like, where they stuff where they, you know, with the seed and water and they clean their balls in their machines and their clubs. And he goes, I love it. Yes, I love it. He says so.
Well, and that's the thing too, is you don't know what's out there because I feel like you've been working in maybe a corporate job for so long, or you've been working in a certain field for so long that you don't even know the part-time availability like that. I mean, a park ranger, who knows if that's a job? So, all right. So let's move on here, Kurt, to step number 5. We've gone through 1 through 4. And I know that step number 5, this one carries some big consequences.
Yes, Jacqueline, does. Reevaluate your Social Security strategy. If you've already had a plan for when you're going to claim, the layoff may force you to take a fresh look at it. All I want to be really clear here is about what's at stake. If you claim Social Security at 62, you could be looking at a permanent reduction in your monthly benefit. That cut doesn't go away. It follows you for the rest of your life, and it affects your survivor benefits as well. A lot of people think about the immediate need in the moment. They don't fully think it through what the reduction looks like 10 or 20 years down the road.
Well, and then the math really does favor waiting if you can on this too.
I certainly think so. I believe so. I mean, I could be collecting Social Security. I don't need to, and I don't want to. I'll just wait till 70. But full retirement age for anyone born in 1960 or later is 67. And for every year that you wait past that, up to age 70, your benefit grows another 8%. Think about a couple where one spouse waited and one didn't. Over a 20 or 25 years of retirement, those decisions can significantly impact the total benefit that you may receive over time. It's worth understanding the math before you make a permanent choice.
Yes, and I do want to mention to our listeners, we have done episodes on Social Security and what it means for you. So please go check out our past shows. But for some people, you know, they might just not have a choice here. If there's no other income coming in, you may have to take it when you can get it.
That's the honest truth, and there's no shame in it. Sometimes early claiming is the right call because it's the only call. But the goal is to make the right decision with full awareness of what you're trading and not out of panic. And that's another place where sitting down with a financial services professional can really help. It's about running the scenarios, looking at the numbers, understanding your actual options. Before I go any further, let me give you our contact information. Again, my direct dial, 484-431-2874. Or you can visit us online at highvalueconsulting.org. Scheduling a consultation is easy and is always happy to work around your schedule. And also, let me remind you, you come in for a consultation, you will receive my new book that is now available on Amazon, High Value Consulting. And I'm a published author, and I'm so proud to say that.
Yes. Well, thank you, Kurt, and great reminder for our listeners. Now, let's move on to step number six.
Connect with your network. In other words, you have a network of colleagues, professionals, or friends. And I know that sounds basic, but people underestimate how much that actually matters. Reaching out to old colleagues, former managers, people who work with you for years, who might now be in a position to make a referral or know about an opening, let people know you're available. You'd be surprised how often something turns up through a conversation you almost didn't have. Because like they say, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Yes, I agree with that one. And I imagine that the online piece to this is much more important now than it might have been the last time some of these folks or our listeners, when you were looking for work.
Yes, hugely. LinkedIn is particular. Make sure your profile is current, that it reflects where you are now and what you bring to the table. Think of it as a digital handshake. It's often the first impression someone gets before they ever spoken to you. And if you don't have a professional online presence at all, now is the time to build one. A lot of hiring happens through referrals, networks, rather than job postings. And if you're invisible online, you're already at a disadvantage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. And I just want to highlight that one more time is LinkedIn. You know, those online sources, LinkedIn, Indeed, all of those are hugely present, I guess, in our society right now and how you can find jobs. Honestly, it reminds me a little bit of online dating, Kurt. When you ask people, you know, where they meet their significant other, 9 out of 10, it's online now. So where do you find your job? 9 out of 10, it's going to be online.
It's going to be online.
And it's a muscle that a lot of people haven't had to flex in a while, for sure.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Jacqueline. Yeah. And it can feel awkward at first, especially if it's been a while with the same organization for, say, 10 or 15 years, and you never had to put yourself out there. But it gets easier, and the connection tends to come faster than people expect once they start. Step 7 is to rethink how you approach interviews. And it's one that I think is very important for older job seekers specifically. One of the things that you can quietly work against someone is the situation is walking into an interview and leading with old nostalgia. You don't want to do that. Talking about how you remember the good old days and the industry was different or how things used to work, the employer may hear that from someone who's stuck in the past.
Well, that is a great point. I never even thought about that. I mean, you want to come in with experience, but you're right. I mean, are you stuck in the past or do you prefer the old ways? And are you maybe angry towards the new ways? So what's maybe the better approach to this, Kurt?
Well, I think just from my perspective, it's you got to prove them that you're innovative, that you're willing to learn, and that you can help, build upon what they already have, and that you can assimilate to what they need. Mm-hmm. Show that you're current, know what's happening in your field right now, know something specific about that company, their most recent news, their current priorities, and what they're looking for. Walk in prepared to talk about the present, where things are headed, not where they've been. The combination of deep experience, current relevance is actually a very compelling thing to bring into a room or into the room. But you have to present it in a way that's intentionally. And one more thing we're saying here is not to let the age sting, but what you're focusing on walking in. Employers worth working for aren't looking at the age. They're looking for what you bring to the table. So lead with that.
Oh, and I'm sure that level of preparation also signals, you know, the genuine interest that you have in that particular opportunity. It shows the company that you want it.
Bingo. It tells them you're not just looking for a landing spot. You're interested in them specifically. That matters. Step 8 is call in your friends, the one people sometimes wave off because it sounds soft, but it's generally important. Don't try to navigate us all alone. Talk to people. Let them in on what's going on and where you've been and where you want to go. You might be surprised how many people have been through similar situations or know someone who has.
Yes. And there's a real mental health dimension to this too, Kurt. And carrying that kind of weight quietly is exhausting. And it can take a toll on you physically, mentally, all of it.
That's a really important point, Jacqueline. And when you're exhausted, your judgment isn't at its best, which is exactly the wrong time to make major financial decisions alone. Lean on your people, your professionals, whether it be your financial professional, your tax professional, your attorney. That's not weakness, that's wisdom. The people in your life who care about you want to help. Let them help. And then other things that's happening when you open up about what you're going through is that you often find out there are more people that you thought had been through similar situations. A layoff at this stage feels very isolating in the moment, but it's far more common than it appears from the inside.
Well, and Kurt, I just want to spend one moment on this one because personally, from my own experience, I think this one's the toughest. You know, being able to open up and allow people in, and also it feels like you're consistently, you know, talking negatively, right? And you're talking down and you're saying the same story over and over. But in reality, those people are asking because they want to be there for you. And, you know, have you ever been through something like that, Kurt? Because I know I'm dealing with it right now with wedding planning.
There's been challenges in my life. Like I said, in the group of my close friends over the years, there's only like one or two that when you lean on, they give you total honesty, total objectivity, and they put it in perspective for you to really clear your head, remove the emotions from it, mm-hmm. and then you take that and then it's up to you to make the decision.
Yeah.
But again, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You're looking for somebody that has no hidden agenda, that they're not going to benefit from it. Mm-hmm. And that's a true friend, and that's a true colleague, and it's somebody that's a valued friend, mm-hmm. a valued colleague.
Yeah. Well, and this is the time that you'll realize who's there for you, truthfully. All right, Kurt. So let's move on to step number 9, which is our last one here. I have a feeling this is going to be a little counterintuitive to the rest of them.
maybe it savors some downtime. Now, I know that's a hard thing to say to someone who's just lost their job and is worried about the future. But if you have a financial cushion at all, whether that's savings or a severance package, use some of that space deliberately. Give yourself permission to breathe. Take stock of what is in the next chapter actually looks like for you. What do you want, not just what's available. And what do you actually want? And some of the best decisions people make about their retirement comes out of a quiet few weeks where they finally had the space to ask the question honestly. A layoff, as hard as it is, can create that space.
Well, it kind of reframes the whole experience, doesn't it? I mean, instead of just a crisis, it's a chance to be intentional about what comes next.
I think that's right. And the people who take a little time to get that clarity tend to make better decisions, both financially and in terms of what kind of life they're actually building towards. Reacting out of anxiety rarely gets you where you want to go, or emotional decision-making. Giving yourself a few weeks of honest reflection can change the entire direction of what comes next.
I'm thinking about all 9 of these steps together, Kurt, and the role a financial services professional plays in all of this. So how does this connect? Can you share with our listeners?
Yeah, it connects in a very real way, because almost everyone in these steps has a financial dimension. And the decisions people make in the first few months after layoff like this can have consequences that last for decades. So when you tap into retirement accounts, whether you claim Social Security early, how to manage cash flow without locking yourself into something you can't undo, these decisions anyone can make without a clear picture and a trusted professional in their corner. You really need to have a solid team.
Yeah. And beyond just the planning side of here, Kurt, you know, I think that there's something to be said for having someone who's seen the situation before and can help you stay steady through it.
It's a big part of it. This is a high stress moment. And when the financial side of things is in good hands, it frees you up mentally and emotionally to focus on everything else: your network, your next chapter, your well-being. The money is never the whole story. And when it's uncertain, it can crowd out everything else. That's why we work to prevent and act. And really, that's what we're trying to do, is help people move from one place of anxiety to a place of clarity. That shift changes everything: how you sleep, how you manage decisions, and how you show up with conversations in your family. Getting the financial picture stabilized is just about numbers. It's about getting the footing back. And if any of this resonates with you and what you're going through right now, and you want to make sure that you have a plan that is solid enough to hold you up to something unexpected happens, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 484-431-2874 or visit our website at highvalueconsulting.org to schedule a complimentary consultation and get that book. We'd be glad to take a look at the full picture and help you figure out what comes next.
Well, thank you so much, Kurt. I love this episode, and I think we really unpacked 9 different, you know, I guess, steps here. But that does it for this episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt J. High.
Thank you much, Jacqueline.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.